This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We pillage, we plunder, we rifle and loot. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. We kidnap and ravage and don't give a hoot. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We extort, we pilfer, we filch and sack. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. Maraud and embezzle and even hijack. Drink up, me hearties, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho.
Listening to the Growing Up Rock Podcast with Stephen Michael and Sonny Hollywood Pooney.
All right, welcome to the Growing Up Rock Podcast. Tonight's episode will be part two of our 2024 Monsters of Rock Cruise recap. You can find part one over at the Potter and Hell Podcast, wherever you listen to all your podcasts. That's where you can find the Potter and Hell Podcast. They're our travel partners and have been so since 2020. On part two, we will be covering days 3, 4, and 5. If you go over to the Potter and Hell Podcast, you'll find our pre-party in days 1 and 2. We have Steve and BC from the Potter and Hell Podcast. What's up, fellas?
Not too bad. What's up with you?
All good over here at Growing Up Rock. We also have Richie and Boo Boo Granza.
Hey. Yo,
what's up?
Thanks for having us.
Those guys are rounding out our bunch. As I've mentioned before, the group started out much smaller when we first went on Monsters of Rock in 2019, but now it's grown into probably three times what we originally started with. Not only do we have our friends over at Potter and Hell, but we also have, like I said, guys like Richie and Boo Boo and Rob, who's not here. And then you've got Tony and Mark, and we've got Leslie and Bruce. And just, I mean, there's massive amounts of people and new ones every year. We picked up Canadian Rob this year. So, yeah, it just keeps growing and keeps growing. And that's part of what brings us back to the Monsters of Rock cruise every year is the friends that most of the time we only get to see some of these friends once a year. So it's good. Hollywood, are you with me?
I am with you. It is always a good time on the cruise because the hang with friends, just like you said, and a lot of you guys, I only see once a year, right? So, and we're all over the state. So it's kind of fun to be together.
That's it. So as I said, we'll cover days 3, 4, and 5. There's a lot to get into, but before we get too much into that, we got to do this.
It's time for the Crank It Up Music Spotlight.
All right, so today's Crank It Up Spotlight, I just got the newest single from the band The Treatment. The Treatment is a UK band. They've been around for a while. The last several records that they put out, I've really liked quite a bit. They've showed up in my top 10 just about every year that they release an album. I don't know what this new album's called. They didn't give me much information on it, but the single is a song called Let's Wake Up the Neighborhood. Check this one out. And we'll come back and talk about it.
Let's wake up the neighborhood! Back in the day, everyone was winning, living off the fat of the land. We found a way how to make a living, or you could let the gutter.
Okay, so did any of you guys get a chance to check out this latest single from The Treatment, Let's Wake Up the Neighborhood? Sonny, what are your thoughts?
I thought the song had AC/DC feel. I thought the vocalist was good. I thought the verses were good, but that chorus had absolutely no punch, which absolutely ruined the song for me. Like, I was all in. And then the chorus came, and I'm like, what just happened? You just took all the energy out of the song. And I completely lost interest after that.
Righty, did you get a chance to check it out?
I did. It was kind of funny because you sent the song and I was literally just pushing on the video on YouTube right when you sent that to me. And the video kind of reminds me of the one version of Def Leppard's Me and My Wine where they're kind of in the house jamming out. I didn't hate the song. I thought the singer sounded different. Is he a different singer from the last album?
Honestly, I don't know, because when they sent that single over, they usually send like a bio sheet and what's going on, like what album is coming forward and all this other stuff. But they sent me zero information. They sent me a link to the single. They said, here's the new Treatment single. And that was basically it. So I checked out the video. I thought the video was entertaining to a point. But yeah, it does remind me of Me and My Wine now that you say that. So I don't know.
I thought the song was pretty good. I didn't hate the chorus like Sonny did. And I thought it had a fun feel to it. And I think for me, with the first time hearing it, watching the video kind of added a little more fun aspect to it. I didn't hate it. I would definitely check out whatever else they have coming out from this album.
BC, did you get a shot at checking that out?
I did. I mean, I've been a fan of these guys since the first vocalist. I have to go with Sonny on this one. I mean, it's very AC/DC, good rocking. Totally their feel, but you got to the chorus, and it's kind of just like, okay.
Yeah.
The chorus should be the highlight.
I got you. Rich?
Unfortunately, I saw the link, and I totally missed the cue and did not. I have nothing to contribute here.
I know what you said about me, Seinfeld. I know you badmouthed me to the execs at NBC. Put the kibosh on my deal. Now I'm going to put the kibosh on you. You know, I've kiboshed before.
All right, fair enough. How about you, Boo Boo?
I did listen to it. I liked it. It was in my wheelhouse. Now that you mentioned, I thought there was something lacking in the song, and I really didn't piece it together until you guys mentioned the chorus. But all in all, it's a good song. I'm sure the album is going to be a good record.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the treatment is that meat and potatoes band I talk about a lot. It's that AC/DC kind of just blues rock, fat riffs, you know, good pocket drumming. I enjoy this type of rock music, and that's what this song was for me. Just more of the same from the treatment, and that's okay with me. I dig it. So it's all good. But look for a new album from The Treatment, I guess, this year, because I'm pretty sure that this isn't coming off our greatest hits. So that's what we have to look forward to.
Please make sure you hit that follow button to subscribe to Growing Up Rock Podcast so you don't miss an episode.
Okay, so let's get into days 3, 4, and 5 of the Monsters of Rock Cruise, the 2024 Monsters of Rock Cruise. And I will just start with you, Steve Wright. What did you see on day 3? And tell us a little bit about everything that you saw.
All right. Day 3, we're in Cozumel, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
We went on shore for a little bit, kind of walked around, kind of sucked. So we came back on the boat. Grants and I went to the pool. Actually, when we were coming back on the boat, Heaven's Edge was playing on the stage. And the singer was mightily struggling because it was Africa hot down there. And I mean, they sounded good, but the singer was Mark Evans, I think his name is. He was struggling pretty good on the stage there. But for the conditions, I think they played very well. We went in the pool. And I got to say, when Chris and I went to the pool, we went over the side and I walked by and I'm like, hey, there's a, you know, awesome looking girl laying out in the sun.
How you doing?
This guy just got in the pool before me. I feel bad now. I fucking did a fucking cannonball. I soaked that motherfucker when I got in the pool. And it was Courtney Cox and her boyfriend. So I kind of feel bad that I soaked that fucker. I gave him like a tidal wave when I got in. So we ended up shooting the shit with Courtney and her boyfriend at the pool. And, you know, we got talking about like festivals and like Europe and stuff like that. And her playing with Paradise Kitty and Burning Witches and stuff. When we were shooting the shit with them, Quiet Riot played on the pool stage. We got to check them out. And I'm just going to go by what I kind of did during that day. Caught Richie Kotzen a little bit in the theater. I thought he was really good shredding it up. I still can't believe that he doesn't play with a fucking guitar pick. And actually, I got to say right now, the announcement that I didn't get a chance to make on Potter Than Hell. This was the day that BC found out that his new grandson was born.
Yay!
So
BCG,
making me older.
I had called my wife, and she said that BC's wife had let her know that the baby was born. So I was able to let BC know that he had a new grandson. So that was awesome. We saw Extreme on the pool deck, fucking killed it. And it was funny because Nuno kind of like was talking about getting his knee fucked up on the basketball game the year before. Caught Slaughter in the theater. I thought they were good. They weren't great, but they weren't as loud. Crazy and in your face volume wise where you couldn't understand what they were playing. So I enjoyed them. Although they played the Immigrant Song from Led Zeppelin. Like, why are you on the Monsters of Rock Cruise playing a fucking cover song? Number two, playing a Zeppelin song. You have a whole catalog of shit that you never covered in fucking years and you're playing this shit.
Yep.
Then myself, BC, and Granza, we went up to do the Steve Harris signing. We got a couple pictures signed, and there was a little back and forth. They were selling albums, and then they weren't going to sign, and we had a back and forth with those people. I kind of yelled at the one guy, but we got all our shit signed. Show number two for Accept in the Studio B, fucking killer, not as long as the first show, but absolutely killed it. Black and Blue on the pool stage, they did the whole first album. Sounded much better than the first night that we saw them. And then we got to see Faster Pussycat for the second time on the cruise in Studio B. And we had a great time. I thought they sounded fucking excellent. I was hoping Sonny Pooney was there with us, but he did not attend. Shocking. I know it's very shocking to hear that. But I had a great time. And Dylan would have enjoyed it because Tyson Leslie played some jaunty piano during a lot of the Faster Pussycat song. So that was my day 3.
All right. How about you, Sonny Pooney?
My day 3, I was with the guys at Cozumel, walked around a little bit. I came back, checked out Heaven's Edge. The singer was struggling. It was hot and humid. I thought Jaron looked great, but besides that, the music is just kind of meh. And I had seen Heaven's Edge before, and I don't get it, and I still don't get it. I did see Quiet Riot on the pool stage. I thought the music was good. I thought Rudy looked great, played great. But Jizzy's basically one step away from Vince Neil. I mean, I cannot hear Jizzy doing these songs. I disagree that people just want to hear the songs. People want to hear the songs done well, too. And Jizzy's not doing them well. So I left after a couple of songs. Too screechy.
I get you. VC next year.
Then I checked out Kotzen at the Royal Theater. Incredible. He said he was nervous. I was like, you're nervous? You don't look nervous. This first set, he did a lot of jam-style songs. So he was just kind of getting, I think, back into the groove of playing live because he hadn't played live in a little while. So at least not solo. He had done it with Winery Dogs. I saw Extreme on the pool stage. Gary's mic went out a couple of times, which I think was pissing some people off. I thought Nuno absolutely killed. I thought the a cappella Fat Bottom Girl thing was great. I thought the musical interlude in the middle was too long. They could have done two more songs. They don't have to do the weird, you know, acoustic electric 10-minute jam thingy. I don't need it. And then they did that new ballad, and the new ballad was a little rough. It was a little rough on the pool stage. Then I saw Soto at the Royal Theater. They cut out a couple of times because I guess later I found out that there was an emergency at Promenade. So that's why it had cut out, because I guess they were calling all the crew to the emergency, I guess. I don't know.
Almost overboard.
Yeah, that part, I don't know. You know, Jeff sounded great. I thought the keyboards were a little loud in the mix. They did a Talisman medley, which makes it tough for people if you don't know the music. I thought Jorge Salon killed all the Yngwie parts because they did an Yngwie medley. Cassandra Carson joined them on stage to do Stand Up and Shout. I thought that was awesome. And then they ended with the disco funk medley that they've done before, which is great. And then the last show I saw that day was Firehouse at the Royal Theater. I was absolutely blown away by Nate Peck, who filled in for CJ Snare because CJ's just kind of recovering health-wise. Nate absolutely knocked it out of the park. They used the video screens well because you can do that in the Royal Theater. Leverty still has all his chops. Music was a little fast. It felt a little fast. So it took a little bit of the groove out. And then there was a drum solo for some reason. Like, really? Guys, come on, Fire. They're playing an hour. We don't need a drum solo. Right? So that was a little disappointing. But I thought Nate just absolutely sounded great. So I felt bad because they were supposed to be the Sail Away band. Think about it. If the Sail Away show would have happened like it was supposed to, everybody would have been talking about Nate Peck for the next 3 days. And it's unfortunate.
Yep. All right. My man, Richie, what'd you see on day three?
So day three, after a couple of these late nights to 3 a.m., some of the mornings were a little slow go. So I got to say, day three, first thing we rolled into was 2:30 Quiet Riot on the pool stage just to experience it. Old school Quiet Riot guy. Obviously, Rudy Sarzo's the guy. Collectively, the band is obviously all great players and everything. The fact that they have him there to carry on the name and the legacy and everything is awesome. I think they did a really good job. After that, April Wine, which is really not my taste and flavor, but because of the legacy of the music and the players and everything, I had to witness that. So good show, Studio B. A lot of music that I didn't realize I knew that I knew. Awesome job. Rolled into, little more fuzziness in the afternoon, probably a combination of players and the casino bar.
Booze.
Roll into the pool stage, see some Extreme at 6 o'clock, which is great. I'm a Slaughter fan, so I went to the theater to see them. Mark Slaughter, I like him. He's a great guy. The band is phenomenal. I feel bad. I know he's had vocal issues in the past. He's had vocal surgery. There's times where I think he struggles to find his sweet spot. So this was the first show. It was good. It wasn't great. From that, except again, can't miss them for the second time. Studio B knocked it out of the park once again. Phenomenal show. After that, we made it back to the pool stage to see Black and Blue. Now with the sound system working and everything in order and them not being the guinea pigs, 1,000 times better. Definitely pulled it out. I think we left there a little early to catch Fast the Pussycat, Pooney's favorite band, in the Studio B. I was sad that he wasn't there, especially be the fact that he's the president of the fan club. So we'll take that up at a later date. So that was great. And then after that, major fuzz, because now you're into 2 in the morning. So I had no idea after that.
All right. So I'll get to the other guys here shortly. For day three for me, Jen and myself and Bruce went into town for a short while, did a little bit of shopping, came back, jumped in the water by the port, which was awesome, super refreshing, really fun to jump in the salt water for a bit. Then we got back on board. I caught Heaven's Edge, saw about four songs. I'll agree with you guys, the singers struggled quite a bit. The pool deck sounded shitty again, which is awful because the sound had been pretty decent. But once again, the sound was not great on the pool deck. It was meh for me. Brian Forsyth from Kix sat in and played Cold Sweat with Heaven's Edge. So that was semi-cool. From there, I went to Crash Diet, and I wanted to give them a second chance. It's just meh for me. The singer, breathless and doesn't know how to use his voice. The second day in a row. So again, I really, really wanted to love Crash Diet. I like the music, but I was just expecting a little bit more from them live, and I didn't get it. I had no intention on catching April Wine for two shows, but they were so damn good that first day. I was like, okay, I got to catch some more of this. So I went back and saw, I caught four songs this time because it was towards the end of the set. It was conflicting with something else, but once again, just solid. The band is solid. The vocals are solid. The band is solid. Just a really, really huge surprise for me. From there, I went to Kotsen. Look, Richie Kotsen is a stellar talent, period. He's an amazing player. He's an amazing singer. It's just jam-oriented, that's all. So you got to be in the mood for it. It gets a little too jammy at times for me, but he's still amazing. From there, Extreme. We had great view. Jen caught a Nuno pick, which was awesome. The band was fantastic. The sound was shit again. I didn't think it sounded good. I'm with Sonny. They could fit another two or three songs in there if they would just stop with some of the offshoot shit. I caught three songs of Glenn Hughes on the pool stage because we needed to catch dinner. And it was in between shows, and I knew I wanted to see Glenn Hughes, but I had another shot to see the second show. So I ended up seeing three songs from Glenn Hughes. He's amazing. I mean, at his age, at 72, that's how you do it. Just so killer. But yeah, I only caught three songs. I was trying to get to the theater for Soto, I think. Let's see. Soto, all medleys. Power went out twice, and JSS seemed to struggle at times on that first show. He needs to quit saying he's too old for this. He must have said, I'm too old for this 20 times. Jeff just needs to stop doing that. The medleys were great. I love the Wet medley. I love the Yngwie medley. Like Sonny mentioned earlier, Cassandra Carson from Paralandra came out and did Stand Up and Shout. She's an amazing singer, and I hope that she did enough to get Paralandra on next year, because that would be awesome to see them on. Black and Blue. Black and Blue's first record is a absolute gem to me. I love that first record, so I want to make sure I caught the set on the pool stage. The sound was much better. They threw in a few other classics in there. I loved it. We were kind of sitting high, so the sound was swirling a little bit, but we were comfortable. We had seats. We were checking it out, and I enjoyed it. It was good. And then I finished up the night, head to the theater to catch Firehouse. I thought that Firehouse sounded amazing. Like, the sound in the theater sonically was great. The band sounded good too, but they had the sound dialed in. I could feel the bass drum, and I could hear all the instruments clearly. And, like Sonny mentioned, Nate Peck. Wow. Wow. Big shoes to fill there, and he did a fantastic job. I agree with Sonny. They played the shit way too fast. Like, they lost some of that groove and some of that pocket because, for whatever reason, it just sounded a bit sped up for certain. But I thought it was a great set, and that guy should always be working, even after he's done filling in for CJ, for sure. So that was my day three in a nutshell. BC, how about your day three?
Day three, yeah. We went into Cozumel for a little while, walked around, came back to ship, checked out Heaven's Edge for a little bit. Like you said, Mark was suffering a little bit, but it was fucking humid. After that, I don't know who was with me, but checked out Crash Diet because I wanted to check them out. Vocally, I'm used to the album, so this is the first time seeing them live, so they were good. After that, Quiet Riot on the pool stage. After that, I went to, I don't know who I was with, for April Wine, which to me was the surprise of the ship. I mean, I don't know, except for the one song, I don't know anything from these guys. Never, album-wise, ever saw them live. They were good. I mean, musically, they were good. And another guy played without a guitar pick. So after that, saw parts of Richie Kotzen, which I like Richie. I mean, but I said sometimes you got to take or leave him if you're not into the musical part of them. After that, Extreme on the pool stage, which is always great. After that, I caught part of Slaughter. I remember being in Slaughter, not for the whole show, but for most of it. Then we went to the photo experience with Steve Harris. After that, we went down to Accept. Got our pictures taken with Lizzie Borden at the end of the show. I said, tomorrow night, this is your house. So bring it, motherfucker. After that, went up to pool stage for Black and Blue, which was much better than the first time up on a pool. But, I mean, and after that, I guess we have to see Festipus again. It gets really blurry after this, so.
I don't remember.
He was hitting the wall.
Having a BC moment.
We're having a BC moment after that, but no, that was my day three.
All right. Granza, you're up.
Went into the port for a little bit, and then Steve and I hit the pool for a while. Well, we went Heaven's Edge.
Heaven's Edge on the way through.
On the way through, yeah. And then we hung out at the pool. Unfortunately, I missed April Wine, and that was one of the bands that I wanted to see. I didn't catch any of their shows. Then after the pool, stopped in for Kotzen a little bit, and I'm really not a fan. I give it a shot every time, and it doesn't do anything for me. Then I caught Extreme on the pool deck, and it was funny because we were standing by the soundboard, and this guy comes creeping up to me, and he's tapping me on the shoulder, and he has a bag of albums, and he's asking me to sign the albums. And I'm like, who do you think I am? And he goes, you're that guy from Heat. And I'm like, no. And he's like, yeah, sign my albums. And I'm like, no, nope, that's not me. So I had to prove to him that I wasn't that guy. But anyway, apparently he was sick.
Who do you think you were, Jonah T?
Jonah T.
Apparently he was sick during wherever this guy got the rest of the record signed. He got everybody's signature except that guy.
You should have signed it.
I would have signed that shit. If you told him you weren't that guy and he insisted you were, I would have signed that shit.
Well, I didn't want
that. Right, I would have signed it. Jack me off.
No. But
nice. And I get $20 for that.
So you're the guy to sign me up.
So then I cut out early on Extreme to go catch, I want to say, Crazy Licks. So I caught a little bit of them, then went over to Slaughter. And then after that,
I think I did Crazy Licks with you.
Yeah, because then we went to Slaughter. Mm-hmm. And then we did the Steve Harris meet and greet. I took my Live After Death record that I had signed by, what's the guy's name? The artist.
Oh, Derek Riggs.
Derek Riggs. Yeah. So now I got Steve Harris and Derek Riggs autographed on that one.
I was on a Pooney mission that night.
Right. And then caught the second half of Accept. I walked in right where I left the night before, or their first show. Then after that went to Black and Blue, and they're one of my favorite bands. So that was a good time. We were actually on the rail right in the corner for that. So that was really good. And then honestly, I think that was a casino night after that. Then I think I went up to the karaoke at the end by myself, I think. And I hung out there for a while. And that was it. I really don't remember much after
Black. No, you went to Festival Pussycat Studio B with us first.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Is there pictures?
Yes.
Right. Is there proof? Is there proof of honestly, life?
It was a blur. After dark, it gets
after over. Monday.
After Monday.
Pretty much.
So once everybody gets on the ship and they have access to the drink package, the information that we're sharing with everybody may or may not be true, depending on just how lucid everybody is. But from there, we went to day four, which is the second full sea day. And I'll start off with this one. The first thing I did was hit up Rare Hair, which was fun. I saw about half of it. If you're not familiar with Rare Hair, it's something that's put on by Tyson Leslie, who's the keyboard player for Vixen, but he also does a million other things for the Cruise, dueling pianos, etc. He's an amazing musician. And they have different rock stars pop in and out to do cover tunes, essentially. So he had Phil Schaust and Christopher Williams from Accept. They had Ryan and Jeremy from Ace's band, and they had people from Enough's Enough and just various bands on the cruise. They all popped in and out, and it was fun. It's always a good time. It was fun that they had it on the pool stage in the morning. That was really fun. So it was a nice day, if I recall correctly. So that was decent. From there, I went to catch Heat, which was on the pool stage. That was the next thing I saw. It was the same exact set. It was a good set, but it was the same exact set. I hate it. Absolutely hate it when bands do the exact same set on this cruise. There's no reason for it. It's lazy as shit. I can't stand it. So they sounded good. It was a good set, but it was the same set. I'm going to get on a rant here for a minute, but you got 1 hour to play for a mostly American audience to share music. And they may not know you, these bands from Europe. They come over here, they get on the ship. You got 1 hour. Don't waste time playing solos and doing stuff, and don't waste time doing the same exact set. Share all that you can share with those mostly American audiences. Why wouldn't you want to do that? That's your learning tip, new bands. Anyway, from there, I caught KK Priest. It sounded good. I love the old Judas Priest stuff that he did, but I'm not a fan of the KK Priest stuff. I've tried a couple times. I can't get into it. Ripper can really, really scream, but at some point it's just too much. So yeah, I enjoyed seeing KK up there. Yes, I enjoyed some of the Priest tracks, but I don't know. I'm glad I saw the one show, but I didn't need to see it twice. I'm fine. Queensryche, I watched a little more than half the set. Good, different set list. Sounded great up there on the pool deck. It was good. So I needed to catch the second and last show for Ace and Studio B. It was late again, 45 minutes late, I think they started. I'll leave it at this. It's a shit show. I watched three songs. He just should stop playing live. I mean, to me, I get that the guy is a legend. I think his band is great. Jeremy, Ryan, Scott Coogan, they all do a great job. But it's almost like they have to help Ace on stage. Not those guys, but like Johnny O or whoever his handlers are. I was worried about Ace at times. Like, I was worried he was going to fall or hurt himself. I don't know. I really think he should just stop and just you know, he can make all the albums he wants to make. And if he wants to go around, do talk shows or do whatever he wants to do to keep his name out there, great. But playing live, I don't need to see it really ever again. I walked out after three songs. It was not good at all. Crazy Licks. I saw him on the pool deck. Meh. They played the same set again and only 45 minutes. That's just stupid. Go back to what I just said. You have 1 hour to play your music for almost American audiences where a lot of them probably never even heard you. And you played 45 minutes and quit. I timed it. 45 minutes and they quit. Dumb. That brought us to the second Darkness show. The Darkness show was in Studio B. Completely different set. Completely different set list. Fantastic. Great show. I'm not sure which show I enjoyed more, the one in Studio B or the one on the pool stage. Absolutely amazing. Set that place was packed. All kinds of other artists were there to see him. I mean, they did a fantastic job. A lot was made about the fact that Justin came out and flat out called Ace a cunt. Said, you don't make the darkness late. You made the darkness late. Basically, fuck you. And called him out for it. And a bunch of people went off on a rant and said, oh, you can't. It's not Ace's fault, blah, blah, blah. Somebody got hurt before the set, and that's what held it up. I would say to that person, what was the excuse in the theater? Because Ace was almost an hour late in the theater too. So bullshit. I don't buy that crap. And then I finished off the night with what else? Lizzie Borden. I remember it was me and Rob sitting together watching it. You guys were all down there getting blood on you. That wasn't happening. So Rob had never seen it. So I just kind of watched the expression on Rob's face because I tried to prepare him before. He's like, so what's this all about, man? I'm like, just watch it. It's interesting and unique. And Rob had this, what the fuck am I seeing look on his face when he walked out there. And a couple times he turned to me and he's like, what the fuck is going on here? What is happening? I said, just watch it. It's a spectacle. I mean, look, I saw most of it. I'm good. I'm not a huge Lizzie Borden music fan. Like, I like some of the stuff, but I don't love it all. I thought his band was decent. He does what he does. It's all about the costumes and different things like that. So, yeah, I mean, it was fine. It was a good way to finish off the night. I think I enjoyed seeing it more with Rob, who had never seen it, than just if I had gone by myself or gone just to see it, you know. So that was my day four. BC, let's start with you this time. What did you see on day four? Because I know damn good and well how you finished off your day four.
Okay, I'm going to start off with the title of my day four is Day Four is a Blur.
The whole day?
Most of it. I don't remember half the shit. I remember me and Steve were at Rare Hair. I remember being up there for Rare Hair. After that, I don't remember nothing until Quintric.
That's 5 o'clock at night.
No, because I remember we went to CKK, but we got turned around.
Yes. Right.
Other than that, might have saw Heat. I don't know. Like I said, drinks are going down very good.
Yeah.
We're cranking them down.
Yeah, you were fucking jacked.
So Queen Drake, and then after Queen Drake, I remember Crazy Licks. Of course, we went to see Winger in the theater. And then after that, I don't know where it was until Lizzie Borden. We saw Lizzie Borden.
Didn't you see Ace?
Maybe.
maybe.
Because what time was Ace? Ace was what? Six? I don't know. Because we're at Queen Drake, 5:15. We might have went in later on. I don't know.
I left Queensryche.
It was a little. Like I said, day four is a little blurry for me, but finished off the night with, my man, Lizzie Borden.
A little blood?
A little blood on the cheeks. Steve picked me up off the ground, and
I fucking ran BC right up the front for that.
Right through the crowd, and he went by, pushed me up. Lizzie Borden.
Oh, yeah.
Then he was coming back, and he was going to go by us, and I gave him a tap as he's going by. He got me a ball, beach ball, that show. I remember all that, but after that,
yes,
I remember going back to the casino bar.
Back to the casino bar.
After that, I woke up, pitch blackness, not knowing where the fuck I was.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
But a good day for it. You thought the alarm was going off. You had to go on an EMS call.
Richie.
The paraphrase version. Spread Eagle in the theater. I like a couple of select songs that I just know from hearing, you know, on the radio and stuff. I wasn't blown away. They did what they did well. I expected actually a little bit more. Pretty decent. Eh. From there, Heat on the pool stage. I wanted to see them. Good show. A little too much Baby Bruce action, but a good show. From there, we'll go to we tried to get into KK's Priest, and we got spun around and decided not to do that. So we probably went back to one of the either Playmakers or the Casino Bar, whatever the fuck happened there. Queensryche on the pool stage. Killer, of course, which I was very surprised because I was under the impression that they didn't really like to do an outside venue because they can't control the sound as much, and they are very, like, articulate and precise and precision band, and that's why they actually like to do the theater or something in there, so where it's like a controlled environment. But even outside with the wind blowing and the sound going in 36,000 directions, they were killer. Did leave early to witness Ace. Oh, that was rough. Something was going on. I don't know what was going on. Everybody in the band, I had like six eyes on this fucking guy. He almost fell over into the drum set. Somebody caught him and picked him back up. He was stumbling and bumbling more than Ace normally does.
I can't see.
You almost feel bad. But I'm an Ace tard, so I watched the whole fucking thing. you do what you do. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to catch Crazy Licks because I haven't heard them. Pool stage. Surprisingly very good. I was impressed. I really dug that. After that, Winger. Kip's a little bit of a douche sometimes, but he's a douche to a good extent because he puts on a phenomenal production. He doesn't go out unless everything is precise and fucking perfect. The sound is right. The mix is good. The players, everybody in the band, all original from the original album, spot on. Great show. I made it up to the punchlines and backlines at the Viking Crown. Had a wedge into the back, standing room only. I ended up staying late for that because everybody else, Boo Boo and Steve and everybody, I think, cut out to get to somewhere else. Oh, they were going back they wanted to get to early for Lizzie. I ended up staying for the rest of the comedy show, which actually was actually pretty good. I'm not a huge comedy guy. But at the end of the night, I did make it to Lizzie's show. I witnessed BC getting lathered with blood.
Yeah.
Unique experience. And like he said, after that, it was a fuzzy, unrememorable, you know, evening after that.
So how many times have you been baptized by Lizzie Borden? At least twice?
Oh, twice on the cruise.
Twice, and I did it to you the second night.
Yeah, and because Ace was late, it put the darkness late, which also made us miss the second comedy show, which I was looking forward to, by the way. Boo Boo.
I caught Spread Eagle in the theater, which, you know, they're okay. It was a good start of the day, nice and slow. Went over, caught Heat on the pool stage. Little Bruce.
Yeah.
Had a little less clothes on today, which this show was a little.
Yeah, he had those little short shorts.
Yeah, which was not good. Then we tried to get into KK, but we couldn't get into that. So then the next thing I saw was Queensryche. Saw half of that, then shot over to Ace, which was kind of like not really, really good.
You should have stayed for Queensryche.
I know, but you know, I wanted to try to catch a guitar pick since it was in the Studio B, which is general admission, not just so you can get up kind of close. So I thought I had a good chance of getting a pick. Didn't happen. Oh. Shut your face. Anyways.
Is that where I get yelled after the pick?
No. Then I caught a little bit of Winger, and then I went up to Punchlines and Backlines, another great show, and then ended up going to Lizzie, which was absolutely fantastic, and I caught a Black Rose that he was thrown out, and I gave it to my friend Doris.
Wait a minute.
What?
You caught a Black Rose, you didn't give it to BC?
I caught one, too. I didn't give it to BC either.
Who'd you give it to yours?
Wow. I gave it to a girl that was sitting in front of me.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm very proud that you guys are the newest contestants on The Bachelor, but we're talking about rock and roll now. So now that you're dating Lizzie Borden, we'll save that for another episode.
Bachelor. So we gave our roses to women, not to a guy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Y'all tell yourselves what you need to. Anyway.
I got anything for Lizzie, I'm going to give it to you.
He had the beach ball.
Still.
We could have caught them again.
Oh, okay.
All right, Righty, give us your day four.
Yeah, day four. We kind of slept late because we had a rather late night the night before. That was the first and only time we went to the dining room. We had breakfast there. I know you guys had dinner there like the night before. Breakfast was very good there. We caught Rare Hair on the pool deck. That was cool seeing those guys up there doing different songs and stuff like that.
Oh, we did. I did catch.
Yeah, them. And let's see. Don Jameson actually got up and played rhythm guitar on a Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. It was actually cool seeing them switch in and out. Yeah. Gene/Aces band. It was Phil and Ryan and Christopher Williams. They did a couple of Kiss songs, which was very cool seeing that. And actually, after that, I went to see a little bit of Spread Eagle in the theater, which that was not the venue for them. It was not even like a quarter full. I think they should have been a Studio B at the most, maybe Star Lounge kind of thing, like theater. There was hardly anybody there. They were okay from what I saw. And no one mentioned from the first Heat show, Kenny wiped the fuck out into the fucking drum riser. Not as bad as the guy from Faster Pussycat on that one video, but he was fucking limping like a motherfucker the next day.
Right.
Yeah. We saw him in the breakfast area there. But caught the second Heat show on the pool stage. Like Steven said, very lazy, same set. You got a perfect opportunity to throw out more of your music to more fans that will never probably get to see you again. And they didn't pull through on that. We were waiting to go into KK's Priest. We got fucked on that in Studio B. They weren't letting any more people in. However, that worked out good because Dave Menichetti and Aaron Lee were sitting in the corner by kind of where we were waiting. And I found the perfect moment to get a fucking picture for Sonny with Dave Menichetti. So that worked out good. In that, so that was worth not seeing.
That was actually a stalking session.
Oh, I stalked that motherfucker.
That was a stalking session.
I hooked up my buddies. What can I tell you? I fucking hooked them up. So after that happened, we went to the sports bar. Eddie Trunk was doing his show, and he was interviewing John Bush and Joey Vera from Armored Saint. They got done. A bunch of us got pictures with them, and then he interviewed Steve Harris, which actually Rob and BC, I think, are on Eddie Trunk's page. You can see them in the background. When he was interviewing Steve Harris there. So I had wings at the sports bar. I started not feeling good from the wings. So I'm like, you know what? I don't give a shit. If I got to throw up on Queensryche, I'm going to go up. So I went up early, got up right almost on the rail for Queensryche, enjoyed the whole show. It was fucking awesome.
And then he shit his pants.
And I did not throw up on them, by the way.
But you did shit your pants. I did not even get my
book either. It gave a whole new meaning to Jet City Woman.
Don't shit on the tour bus. So then actually after Queensryche was done, I slid down to Studio B. On my mudslides, I slid down there to Studio B. I caught some of Ace and I got in there. I forget what song he was doing the very next song when I got in there.
So did he.
Yeah, true. Was Shock Me. So we got the Cliff Notes version of Shock Me because they did the intro. They did the first verse, they did the chorus, and then he went right into the solo. So he could see the band is watching, like,
what's he doing?
You know, Ryan, Jeremy, and Scott, they totally roll with it. It was like they didn't miss a fucking beat. Those guys deserve a fucking, like, a Silver Star and in combat pay for fucking doing them shows with Ace. Caught Crazy Licks on the pool stage a little bit. Winger in the theater. Winger is a must-see band on Monsters of Rock Cruise. They always deliver, always give their best. The band is probably, besides Nuno on the cruise, are the most talented musicians on the boat, I believe, in my opinion. We went up to the comedy show. It was Izzy started up, then Courtney, Tyson Leslie came up. He was really good, and we kind of zipped out after that. We missed Florentine, and we missed Don Jameson for the second part of that one. And I got to say, I got to give it up to Courtney because during her set, Chad Stewart from Faster Pussycat fucking heckled her for the whole show, right? She handled that fantastic. And literally like halfway through her set, some fucking lady walks in with this walker. Where can I sit down? Like literally right on the fucking stage. Where can I sit down? And Courtney's like, what the fuck is going on here?
For a minute, I thought it was part of the show.
Yeah. And then Courtney's like, can someone get her somewhere to fucking sit? So some dude brought a fucking chair over. She handled it like a fucking champ. And like we were laughing our ass off. She was talking about people with Kiss clucks and shit. I pointed Boo Boo out. She pointed him out in the show. So that was kind of cool. She handled it like a champ. After that, we needed to – to zip down early so we can get make sure we got good spots for Lizzie Borden. Lizzie Borden fucking kicked ass. Got BCF beach ball. When he was doing the blood, we were probably like 10 people back. I just fucking grabbed him and I fucking just rammed him right up the front so he could get the fucking blood. I was hoping for some. I didn't get any. I think I got a handshake or whatever. Got BC a beach ball.
Good spots for Lizzie Borden. To be fair, all you had to do is show up. There wasn't anybody else there.
I did catch a rose of that show, but I gave it to a young lady in front of me. I would feel weird handing a rose to another dude, so that's why that happened.
It was my
and
I had to fill in for Cloudy Pootie.
You did good. You channeled Cloudy pretty good. So we just kind of went to the casino bar after that and had a great night. Reminisced. BC had the blood on his face. It was a good time.
It was a good time.
Day four was going.
All right. Pooney, give us day four.
All right. So I started at Spread Eagle Royal Theater. It was about a third full. Dude, that singer needs to shut the fuck up. He's like Bon Jovi. Just yap, 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 yap. Singer, meh. Songwriting, meh. Live, they were meh. Spread Eagle's just meh. So then for some reason, I went to Studio B to check out Dangerous Choice. Good Lord. Jason is singing in like 8 keys at the same time. Like, I don't know what he is doing. They were so bad. I had to leave after a song. So then I went to the to Heat on the pool stage. It was windy as fuck up there. They still sounded great. I hate that they had the same set list. We've already talked about that. He was climbing the truss. I'm like, Kenny, what are you doing? Did you see the person that put that fucking thing up? Get off of there. After that, we were in the bar. These guys were waiting to go to see KK's Priest, and I got to give it up to Righty. Got me a photo with Dave Menichetti, and goddamn it, was I shaking. Like, I don't even know what I said to the guy. And afterwards, it took me like a half hour to calm down. I was absolute shaken. But I got a picture with the guy, so that's great. Then I went to Ace on Studio B, and I'm going to tell you real quick. First of all, Eddie introduced, and then somebody else introduced too. I don't know why you need two introductions. They opened with Rip It Out. Scott did the drum part great. Good. They get to Parasite. Ace is sloppy as fuck. They go to 10,000 volts. Ace is completely lost. Detroit Rock City was fine because Ryan was singing. Shock Me. They skipped the second verse. Everybody's looking around going, what the fuck just happened? Rocket Ride, sloppy as fuck. Love Gun, Coogan sang it okay. Ace didn't even come close to getting the solo right. Then they gave Ace a break by doing God of Thunder music into New York Groove, and I'm not even sure he played the riff right for New York Groove. The first part, I mean, was brutal in every way, and then it just got worse and worse and worse with New York Groove. Then he gets into Cold Gin, sitting up there telling a story about how he wrote it when he was 24. Ace was born in 51. The song came out in 74. How could he have wrote it at 24? Like, he doesn't even got the story right.
He can't do math.
Yeah, obviously. Then he wasted a bunch of fucking time doing the smoking guitar solo. Half the place empties. They come to do Shout It Out Loud. Ryan's being Gene. Scott's being Paul. But for some reason, Ace is singing vocals. I don't know why. Then for some reason, Ace had to change. So they played the music for Lover All I Can. They come out to do Deuce. And Ace is singing. I'm like, why is Ace singing Deuce? Thank God he only did the first verse, because that was probably the best song of the night. And then they end the song. Ace gets into the mic. How much time we got left? Somebody answers him. They come back and do two more chords of Deuce and end the set. So I'm like, what just happened here? Ace is brutal now. Okay. So anyway, afterwards, I go to Winger at the Royal Theater. I went from seeing Ace to going to Winger. Dude, it's not even explainable when you see Reb just butter on the guitar neck and it just slithering all over the place, playing notes that Ace could never play in his whole life. Winger was pro as fuck and they were outstanding. I just thought Reb's solo was a little long. Then I ran to go catch Punchlines and Backlines. I got there right as Courtney went on, took off right after Courtney got done because I wanted to see Kalito. Saw the last song for Kalito. They were playing Pet Sematary, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I hate that song. And by the time I watched the rest of the song, I'm like, damn, they did that song pretty good. So they made me like a song that I don't like. So I got to see Kalito once full set. I didn't get a chance to see him. And then I ended the night with BC telling me he loved me 18 times. So it was a good night. He kept forgetting telling me he was, you know, I know, BC, you love me. I got you. Love you too, brother. I love you. I love you too, man.
That was before they got back to the cabin.
Right? Took it to a whole new level.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet cabin love.
Everybody's talking about Lucy.
Like what you're hearing? Share this episode out. Post it to your favorite social network and let people know you're listening to the Growing Up Rock Podcast. It will help us grow, and we greatly appreciate it.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, moving on to the final day, day five. Typically, day five is kind of a weird day, the last day of the cruise, because people are sort of preparing to pack bags and get ready because you got to get up and out fairly early the next morning. Let's start this one with, how about you, BC? Start us off. What did you do on that final day?
Final day, we got up and did our usual stuff and then went to do the Ace Frehley painting. Which was pretty cool. A lot better than Freddie Mercury was last year, I think, at least personally. After that, I believe Soto we saw in the theater. And then after that, I don't know who was with me. We checked out Pat Travers' band up on the pool stage. After that, went down to Heaven's Edge and Studio B. Of course, we caught Winger again up on the pool stage. And then I forgot who I was with again and went to see Glenn Hughes, which is always good. After that,
I think we got rained out after that.
We got rained out somewhere.
That's about the point. It should hit the span.
Armored Saint, yeah, that got rained out.
Rained out.
And then we went to Lizzie Borden. Finished night off with Lizzie Borden. By then, my battery is low. Day five was like,
So was Heaven's Edge better in the studio than they were on the pool deck?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably due to the sound.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
It's not 90.
And they weren't dying in the sun
either. They weren't dying in the heat.
Right.
How about you, Rich?
Being the last day of the cruise, every morning getting rougher and rougher by the moment, and the nights getting later and later, I'm going to say the first thing I experienced was bad marriage because I did want to experience it. It was the pool stage, nice open environment, 2:30 in the afternoon. Nice. Pleasantly surprised. They were really good. Fully enjoyed that show. Probably some more, you know, slow, easy into drinking and eating. After that, treat on Studio B. Again, pleasant surprise. Not familiar with them so much, but good show. Pat Travers, again, I'm a musician, guitar player. I know him. I'm not really super familiar with the catalog, but I thought it was the right thing to experience the show. He killed it. Not my taste exactly, but the dude's good, you know. So we did that. Moving on from there, Heaven's Edge and Studio B. I thought that was a great show, too. So a lot of those European bands like that.
And they're from Philadelphia.
Well, they are. You're right. I lump them into like the
casino bar much?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's some of it.
The Kraken?
I didn't do that Kraken and Diet like you fucking guys did. I didn't do that. Maybe it was those Goomba Smashes. It was Goomba Smashes. So, any case, we'll call them B bands, okay? So some of these B bands were actually pretty fucking good. So I was very happy. Pool stage, Winger. Back to them, 7:30. Like we've all said, class act, class players, top of the game, on the money. You got to see them. Their bad show is better than somebody else's good show.
They're another good Swedish band, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Via LA or wherever they came from. Glenn Hughes. I was expecting something different from him. We saw him in the theater. Phenomenal player. I had no idea he could sing the way he sang. Pleasantly surprised, not familiar with a lot of his stuff, but it was a very good show. And then the shit hit the fan. We thought we were going to Armored Saint outside. I know Sonny was devastated, but I guess we probably had to go back to the casino. Or eat, or drink, or more, and or a little of each, or both. After that, I hit Slaughter again at 11 o'clock at the theater. This time, got like a front, you know, like down low seat behind the soundboard. Wanted to get a little different perspective. I was hoping like I would get a better read on Mark's voice, which it was, better than hearing him up at the top. But he still struggles somewhere in like that mid to high range. I mean, when he sings great. And it sounds like him, and it's good, but when he has like a trouble transitioning from that mid to high, which I actually feel bad because he, other than that, he does a really good job, and the band is spot on.
I have no fucking idea what happened after that.
There we are. Mr. Pooney, how about your day five?
So my day five started with Ace Frehley painting, which was fun. Then I went to Firehouse at Studio B. They're about 3/4 full. Nate, again, killed it. I just thought they opened with Rock You Tonight, which I thought was like too much, too mellow. They did change the set a bit. They actually did Love is a Dangerous Thing, which they were kind of pulling stuff out from nowhere to do. So that was kind of cool. After that, I went to Jeff Scott Soto in the Royal Theater. He did all the medleys that he had done before. Kenny from Heat did I'll Be Waiting from Talisman. He came on stage. Cassandra Carson did Stand Up a Shout Again, so it was a great show. Extreme at the Royal Theater was next for me. Gary, he went to go to the right side of the stage, I guess you would say, and try to do this move during Play With Me and completely bit it and fell into the stairs. They used the screens really well behind them. They changed the set list up a bit. then there was this, Nuno tells people in the front to like sit down, and they didn't. So then he tells them again, come on, people. People will appreciate it if you just sit down and enjoy the show, because he was about to do his acoustic thing. Then they started More Than Words, and the people didn't sit. So then he said, fine, don't sit. Be assholes. And people just kind of stood there. So I don't know. It was a shorter set. It was quicker, so I thought Extreme was better at the Royal Theater. But Gary was in a very dangerous, playful mood. And if you've ever been in the Royal Theater, there's speakers hanging off the ceiling that always move when, you know, the boat's moving a little. And he grabbed onto those cables, swung like Tarzan about 10, 12 rows in, and then swung back. And you could just see all of the crew looking up going, God, we hope those speakers don't come down. Right? So that was a little iffy for me. And then I saw Richie in Studio B, great as usual, did a completely different set list. Richie was even funny. He comes on the mic and goes, do we still have time? I don't want to run over. I don't want any issues. I don't want anybody calling me nothing. But he was totally feeling it, just like the I Believe in You thing we were talking about with Menichetti. And he was jumping all around. He's a little weirder than usual. He was hitting the vocal just dead on. Like that second show, Richie was really feeling like the music go through him, which I thought was great. And then I ended the night with the best thing that had happened the entire cruise. And that was that Armored Saint got rained out. I am a straight up asshole. And I gave guys so much shit. And that's what I did the rest of the night. Every time somebody screamed in the casino, you know why they're screaming? Because Armored Saint canceled.
We're collectively flipping you off right now.
You're still doing it. Nothing makes Pooney feel better than the disheartening of others.
That's right.
He lives by it. All right, Righty, you're up.
All right, I'm just going to start by saying I am happy when my friends are happy. I am not happy when my friends are sad. I'm just going to say that right off the fucking bat. All right. Day five, we were in Nassau. Myself, BC, and Boo Boo, we went on the island. We had a very nice lunch at Senior Frogs. Had a good time there. Went back to the ship. And, before that, I'm sorry, we had the Ace painting thing, which was cool. It was me, Boo Boo, BC, Sonny. Tony and Mark were there also. Great time doing that. The paintings were cool. Everyone's was different. And Sonny, did you notice why is the fucking left eye of Ace like fucked up? Like it's like 2 inches lower than the fucking right eye. Is it like that on the solo album? I don't know, but it looks fucked up.
It is. It is like that on the solo album.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
I guess us painting it, not like it really looks like makes it even fucking worse. But that was a good time. Ryan, Jeremy, and Phil were there doing the painting as well. So we had some pictures with those guys at the end. So that was kind of cool too. So we came back. I met Steven, Sonny, and Jen, Studio B for Firehouse. I was glad I got to see Firehouse. I had not seen them with the – what's his name? Nate? Is that the guy?
Nate.
Yeah.
He was really good. It was fucking hilarious when Steven spilled fucking Jen's drink all over the fucking place and chased the girl on the side of us away. That was kind of cool. But Firehouse was really good. I enjoyed them. I was glad I got to see them. Then we met Sonny, Granza, BC, and I think Bruce in the theater for the Soto show. The Soto show was fantastic. I was glad I got to see at least one of his shows. Jeff is a great entertainer. And Sonny, I don't know if you noticed when Kenny came out to sing with Jeff, he was so fucking excited. He wouldn't even listen to what Jeff wanted him to do.
That's right.
No, just like fucking stand here. Like I singing this, like he was like so excited to be up there. He like totally fucked up a bunch of parts, but it was kind of cool because it was so off the cuff. I went up to the pool stage to check out Pat Travers after that. I checked out about 3/4 of the show. Then went to pack up my stuff in the room. Then we went to Studio B for Heaven's Edge because I wanted to catch them for a full show because the first show, like with them on the pool stage at in Cozumel, it was kind of a disaster with like Mark not doing well with the heat and all that shit. So it was pretty cool. Brian Forsyth from Kix came out. The Cassandra from Paralandra came out. And actually Keith Roth from SiriusXM came out. And they did Cold Blood from Kix, which was very cool to see them do. Mm-hmm. Winger on the pool stage after that. Just absolutely fantastic. And it is, Sonny mentioned it too, it is quite a contrast of seeing Ace stumble around and whatever, and then see Red Beach up there just like playing like fucking butter up on the stage. It's crazy. Him, John Roth, the whole band, just extremely fucking talented. And like I said, I give kudos to Scott, to Ryan and Jeremy for just, carrying Ace through the whole cruise pretty much. We did a quick shot to the buffet for something to eat because if I got off that ship without seeing Glenn Hughes, who was my favorite fucking rock star of all time, I would have fucking killed myself. He delivered 100%. Absolutely fantastic that a man of that age can still sing and perform at that level. For me, is just fucking amazing. I left there, my jaw dropped on the floor, and for a good reason. Then, much to the enjoyment of Sonny Pooney and the chagrin of us going up to the pool deck to see Armin Saint, it had poured because we were in the ship the whole time for pretty much the latter part of the last day. So we didn't even know that there were even storm clouds in the air. And it was fucking pouring when we got off. And Mike Wren, that is a friend of ours from the Kiss Cruise, he's like, dudes, he goes, they're taking the shit down. It was pouring. So sucked to me and get to see Armin Saint for the second show. Fuck you, Sonny. And so then we're like, fuck it, let's just go down. So we went to the casino bar, drank for a little while longer, did a little extra pre-gaming for the second Lizzie Borden show. Went down there, enjoyed it. He did not do the same exact show as the first show. He threw in like 3 different songs, I think. So at least he mixed it up. And just another great show. We were able to get beach balls for myself and for Granza as well at the end of that show. So Lizzie Borden put a good exclamation point on the cruise for me musically. And then we kind of went just back to the casino bar and just kind of hung out and shot the shit. Got some pictures with some friends. Rob K was awesome. We had Birdo on there the first time as well. Brian Henderson, I got to hook up with. He does a Dream Theater podcast. He talked to me and Grant's in the pool. And it was just a fantastic cruise. And it was a good exclamation point to it. When, by the time we got back to the cabin, Sonny had already crashed out for the night. And it was just a good end to the cruise, a good last night.
Yeah.
Boo-boo.
I'm pretty much just going to piggyback off of what – Steve said, I saw everything that he saw just about, started with the Ace painting, caught Firehouse, and that guy does a fantastic job filling in. I thought Soto was great, one of the best performances on the boat. Caught Heaven's Edge, I think a little bit of Winger, saw Glenn Hughes, and then I think I just ended with Lizzie Borden and probably being probably the best show of the cruise.
All right. I checked out Firehouse, another good set. Nate Peck, another great job. Then I moved on to the Soto. It was a good set, a little bit slightly different. Jeff seemed much stronger, much better this day than he did the first time that I saw the first show. Like Sonny mentioned, Kenny from Heat did part of the Talisman block. The thing that I thought was pretty funny was when Kenny first came out, Soto's like 6'3", 230 pounds, and Kenny's like 5'4", and 150. And he jumps into Soto's arms. That was hilarious. It was like a little kid jumping into an adult's arms. Super funny. Cassandra came out, and the difference in the first show that Cassandra came out and did Stand Up and Shout and the second show, I thought was night and day. Like, I thought she was good the first show, but this show, it seemed like they were both her and Jeff were much more comfortable together on stage. And she was like even stronger than she was on that first day. At least that's my perception. Yeah, I thought it was another great performance by her doing stand up and shout. Sonny, did you think that as well, or it was no different for you?
No, it was different for me too, because I think Cassandra was more comfortable the second time. I didn't see a difference in Jeff, but I saw it in Cassandra.
Yeah. I saw the second set of Treat again because I enjoyed that first set. And again, it sounded good. I think it helps that Treat had their regular guitar player on this cruise versus the last one. Magnus from Eclipse had to fill in last cruise, and that may have been a difference, but they were just much better on this cruise to me. Extreme, I caught that second set in the theater. Pretty consistent. Left slightly early to catch Winger. I had to catch at least one set on the boat, so I caught the pool set. It's all been said before. Everything that everybody's already said about Winger, I did that. It's always great. Great sound. Pretty standard set list, including that medley that they started doing, I think, two cruises ago or whatever. I think it's great. I thought it was great the first time I saw it. I don't know if I need to see it every set. So I would just rather hear some other Winger songs maybe instead of that medley because it's pretty long. But it is cool, especially if you've never seen it. And then I ended up capping off my night with Glenn Hughes because, as everybody has pointed out, Armored Saint got canceled due to weather. So I finished my cruise off with Glenn Hughes, and absolutely incredible. I saw the whole set. It's amazing to think that this man is the same age as Ace and has done everything that Ace has done to his body. This guy's done to himself as well. I mean, he's every bit as big a drug addict and alcoholic as Ace was back in the day, but somehow he survived.
Interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
Look at all the people here tonight! Oh man, I got
got to make an announcement right here. Can you hear me out there?
It's time to take a quick break in the action from this week's episode. Sonny and I just wanted to thank all of you, the listeners, for joining us each and every week. Whether you just found us today or have been listening for multiple episodes, we love your passion for music and rock and roll in general. We consider you all part of our Loud Minority family. Always remember you can communicate with us a few different ways. If you don't mind Facebook, head over to the Growing Up Rock Loud Minority Facebook group and be part of the conversation. It's a private group and all you have to do is ask to join, answer a few rock and roll questions, and you're in. If you despise Facebook, which many people do, then send us an email to growingUpRock@gmail.com. We get everything there. You can follow us on Twitter and Insta at Growing Up Rock, which is one word, GROWINUPROCK. In the event you feel entertained by our podcast, we would appreciate it if you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode and go leave us a 5-star review either at Apple Podcast or Podchaser. Now, back to our regularly scheduled program. A little piece of trivia. So you guys know we had some Rock and Roll Hall of Famers on the boat. So we had 3 Rock and Roll Hall of Famers on the boat and 1 spawn of a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. Sonny, can you name those 3 Hall of Famers and the 1 spawn?
So Glenn Hughes.
Yep.
My guess is Pat Travers.
Nope.
No. Who else would be a Hall of Famer on this thing?
3 Rock and Roll Hall of Famers and 1 spawn of a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer.
Yeah, no clue. Okay. I don't know.
Anybody?
We have Glenn Hughes. We have Ace Frehley.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about Ace.
Chips Enough.
Come on. So we've named 2. Who can name all 3 and the spawn of a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer? Anyone? You got Glenn Hughes, you got KK Downing, you got Ace Frehley. Those are your 3 Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. And then you've got Rufus Taylor of the Darkness, who is the son of Roger Taylor from Queen. That's your spawn of Rock and Roll Hall of Famer.
I forgot Priest was in.
Yep. Priest is recently in, so KK's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I don't know if I missed anybody, but that was the quick math that I could think of. I went down the roster and thought that would be a little bit of a fun piece. So let's sum this all up. So I'll start with you, Roddy. Give me the 2 best shows you saw. Don't need to be from the same band, just the 2 best shows you saw and the worst show you saw on the cruise.
Okay, 2 best shows. First Accept show, totally by far the best. Pool stage show for Queensryche, 2nd best for me. And worst show, I didn't really see a worst show, but the one that I liked probably the least would probably be that maybe that Spread Eagle show that I saw in the theater, only because I don't think they, not to be a dick, but they weren't theater worthy, like fan base wise, crowd wise. And I just think that they didn't translate as well in a big 3/4 empty theater.
All right. KK.
It's rough because best as far as musically or best is what I like the best.
The best 2 shows you enjoyed. Your favorite 2 shows on the cruise.
Okay.
Don't overthink it, buddy.
I overthink everything. So the best I have to go with Queensryche and Accept.
All right. And the worst show?
I caught a little bit of that Darkness stuff. Not a fan.
Okay. All right. How about you, BC?
Probably the first Accept show. I'm going to say April Wine because it was such a surprise how good it was. They didn't like jump around or nothing. They just played really damn good.
They executed it great.
They executed very good.
I'll allow you to say April Wine was the biggest surprise for you if you want to add another show that's great for you.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. I mean, I got to go with Lizzie Borden because I got blood. Come on.
All right. Fair enough. Sonny Pooney.
Best shows I saw, I'll give you three. Y&T at the in the Royal Theater with I Believe in You. Richie at Studio B was awesome, and I thought Extreme in the Royal Theater was awesome. I'm going to give you two surprises. Nate Peck and Pat Travers were my two surprises of the boat.
Yeah.
And the worst show that I have seen in a long fucking time, Ace Frehley, Studio B. That was a fucking train wreck, and I watched the entire train wreck.
All right, Boo Boo.
My favorite show was Lizzie Borden, and the second favorite, it's a tie between Accept and Armored Saint, because they were both fantastic. Worst show, I don't know if I really have one, because I really – this is probably I didn't see as many shows as I wanted to. I guess the most disappointing thing is I didn't catch April Wine.
Yeah.
I would say that's the most disappointing of it, because that's who I wanted to see. I don't know if I'll get a chance to see them again.
All right. So my favorite two shows as far as being entertained, hands down, were the two Darkness shows. I was just thoroughly entertained with both those shows. Two completely different set lists. Just completely entertained. As a side, best show, I thought that first Accept show was amazing. I really enjoyed that first Accept show. My biggest surprise was hands down April Wine. Like I said, I knew the hits. I wasn't a huge fan, but the band was tight. They sounded fantastic, and all the songs that they played that I didn't know at all, I enjoyed. I was like, all right, well, so I'm going to go check out more. But it just sounded great. I really enjoyed that band a lot. And then the worst show I saw, hands down, was Ace Frehley in the Studio B. I mean, I literally couldn't take it. I walked out after three songs because it was awful. Not good at all. I was mad. I waited in line just to get in there and wasted my time. You know, I just was not good for me. So that's really it. I mean, that is the full cruise days one and two over at the Potter and Hell podcast. And then 3, 4, and 5, we just ran through here on Grown Up Rock. Final thoughts for me overall, it was a great cruise. It was a great hang. I love being able to catch up with everybody on the cruise. Just a good time. I will say that some of the people that I normally see and get a chance to hang out with, I didn't get a chance to hang out with at all this cruise. Normally, you know, I have more time to shoot the shit with Courtney. I didn't have any time to really talk to her at all this cruise, and a handful of other people I just didn't get a chance to talk to. Just always seemed to be going. But overall, great cruise for me. Sonny Pooney, do you have any final thoughts on the cruise?
Yeah, great cruise for me, great hang for me, and I will tell you the casino was good for me, okay? I will also tell you that I won enough money to pay my mortgage for 2 months, but there is a fucker out there that owes me $5, and he knows who he is. And he broke the golden rule of playing cards on a table, and you owe me $5, and I expect that money the next time I see you, you fuck.
Yeah, and here's the secret Oprah moment of the podcast. Sonny won so much in the casino. Everybody's 2025 cruise is paid for. Thanks, Sonny Pooney. Fantastic. You get a cruise, and you get a cruise, and you get a cruise. Woohoo.
Here's about the best I can do for that. You get a canceled Armored Saint, and you get a canceled Armored Saint, and you get a canceled Armored Saint.
All right. Steve Wright, do you have any final thoughts on this cruise?
Yeah, awesome cruise. It seems like this was so far the busiest cruise because, and Stephen, you alluded to it as well, that like it didn't seem like we had as much time to hang out and shoot the shit as other cruises. And I just had a fantastic time. I'm all about the hang. We did have some awesome hang times, don't get me wrong. And I want to say, and I have a fuck you as well to the motherfucker that stole our Northeast PA Kiss
Army
banner from the pool stage. Fuck you, whoever has that. I hope you try to eat it and choke on it.
But other than that, fantastic time. Always great seeing you guys, hanging with you guys. Love you guys. Can't wait to do it again next year. And from what all indications are, that's going to be on a different cruise line next year. Going to be a smaller boat. So with that being said, I hope we all are able to go and able to get on. I'm sure we will be able to, but like guys that want to come next year, like say possibly BB or Scotty and my buddy Art, like guys that want to, that haven't been on there before, hopefully they get a chance to go on there. And I'm totally looking forward to next year. And thanks for having us on, Sonny and Steven, and always a pleasure. Thank you.
Yep. BC, you have anything you want to add? Any final thoughts on the cruise?
Yeah, another great year, great time. Like I said, we go to hang out mainly, and the music's the background for everything else in my book. But it's great to see a lot of the bands that we saw. Like, and it was awful busy this year for what reason? I don't know why, but
I don't always agree with people that say that the music is the background, because if all we want to do is hang out and shoot the shit, we can go on a hell of a lot cheaper cruise. The music is important. The hang is awesome too, but for me, it's about the bands, because it cost a mint to go on this cruise, and it's great that we can catch up and shoot the shit. But if there were no bands playing, I'd say we could do it a whole lot cheaper and just all book a cruise. So, Mr. Richie, do you have any final thoughts on this cruise?
Yeah, awesome time. I kind of agree with BC. The music is the background. The difference is, to your point, though, not so much the background as far as just coming through the speakers. The fact that it's playing live in the background is a slightly different dynamic. So it's like being like out at the club, and maybe you just didn't want to hear the band, but you know they're playing in the background. So that's a cool dynamic to it. The fact to hang with all you guys, all the ball busting along the way, all the drinking, all the fun, all the different, it's just collectively, it's an awesome time, and I'm very happy, and it's an awesome time. I'm very fortunate to be part of it. Thank you very much.
Boo-boo.
I had a very good time. I thought, actually, I think I did the hang more this cruise than any other, but if anybody's ever on the fence about going, it's, and if you like music, it's the vacation of a lifetime. And it was nice seeing you guys, because I probably won't see you until next year.
That's right. Once a year. That's all you can take of us.
No. It's just it's one of those, a lot of miles in between.
It's all good. So next year, like Steve alluded to, the cruise moves to the Norwegian Cruise Line and the Norwegian Joy. I'm not so sure it's a smaller ship, although somebody said the passenger count is lower. I can tell you it's a newer ship than most of the Royal Caribbean ships that we've been using. And I can tell you that I don't have any clue how they're going to get it done, because losing Studio B is a disaster. Big disaster. And I've looked at the videos for the Norwegian Joy, and short of the theater and the pool stage, which is fine, they'll build the pool stage same as any other boat, I don't know where they're going to put these other bands, because all the venues for live music on the Norwegian Joy are in clubs that are basically like the Star Lounge, and even half the size of the Star Lounge. So you're going to get a bunch of Star Lounges. So
maybe you'll get less bands.
You know, I thought maybe they might do less bands this time. Like, so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I don't know if Jen's going to make it on the next cruise. I might need a roommate, so may need to figure out something. But yeah, I know you'd rather have her than me, but that's not the reality of it. So
we're stuck with you, buddy. We love you.
Yeah, I know you do. I know you're busting my balls. It's all right. Anyway, that's it for us here at the Grown Up Rock Podcast. That is the 2024 Monsters of Rock Cruise recap. Again, part one over at the Potter and Hell Podcast. Part two right here. And yeah, until next week. See ya.
It's time to shuffle, rattle, and roll us out of here. Get ready to turn it up.
Bad. Compared to tomorrow, if time You can help out the podcast greatly by leaving us a 5-star review at Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or Spotify. The links are in the show notes, or just drop us a line at our email, growinguprock@gmail.com. Growing Up Rock is a proud member of the Pantheon Network. Pantheon is the place for music lovers. Check us out, along with many other great music podcasts, on the Pantheon Podcast Network.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.